You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 62. Got quite a bit of a big episode for you this week. A bit of news to go through. Got game review and an app review for this week. And then two TV show reviews, a Star Wars profile, and then a You Can Relax segment. So lots to go through. And then an update for Patreon members and potential Patreon subscribers. So listen in for a special announcement that you may have seen on my social media accounts, but I will also bring up here as well. So to start it off with, this week's theme, it is red, or more specifically, being in the red. So, in the accounting world, this is a means of describing a negative balance on a company's financial statements or general transactions in the detail of their transactions themselves. It is denoted by a negative balance and usually is in the color red to differentiate from being in the black or being positive. So, This is basically a means to show that there's a negative balance, and for whatever reason there is a credit or there's no profit being generated or something along those lines. Over in the grand scheme of things, or being in the red also describes or reflects when a company is not profitable. So it is generally considered a net loss when a company is in the red. There's a negative balance and they're not generating revenues to be a sustainable company. This figure is generally considered bad, but may also not necessarily be considered bad in the long run, because, for example, if there were additional expenditures related to growth in a period, then certain extra expenses may be higher than the revenues generated, but may be corrected in future current periods to fix that, and then the company will be working to generate the profits in the near term and long term to offset those losses. But off the bat, being in the red is not good, and the red also denotes that something further research may be required to find out why the company is not being profitable. In the more detailed side of things, so if you're looking on a granular level, it also denotes, as I mentioned, having a credit balance. So, for example, a return may have been initiated, but the customer does not necessarily have anything currently open on the statement to offset it against, or there's not enough sales for that customer or vendor, for example, to denote that the money is actually owed to the other party. So with that being said, I will jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, the Motorola Moto E3 Power was launched in India. It's a 5-inch device with a quad-core MediaTek processor, 2 gigs of RAM, 18 or 16 gigabytes of storage with microSD support. MicroSD card support, so the memory can be expanded. It also has an 8-megapixel rear camera, 5-megapixel front camera, and runs Android 6, so it's a mid to low range device, but powerful enough to handle most things. So that's a good addition for the Indian market. This week, Google released an app called Google Trips. It provides or helps to provide day plans, manage reservations, find things to do in the area, places to eat, and more, as well as have offline support. So if you're going on a trip or if you're in a new area and you want to find things to do, then Google Trips, it helps to manage all of that in one place, so you don't have to do a search, you don't have to remember to do anything in particular. You can basically just be in an area and get that information. And then the beneficial part of it is, let's say you're staying in a hotel and you don't necessarily want to use too much of your data while you're out and about, then you can save stuff, as I mentioned, for offline storage, so you can access that information quickly and easily that way as well. Google Play Books got an update this feature with a feature called Discovery. This helps you find books by looking at various other information like reviews, news, and things like that, and suggest books that might be related to whatever you're reading. So if you want to get more information or learn more about a topic, then Google Play Books will provide that information. Google Play Photos also got an update this week to help better detect how to share a link to photos to other people. So if you're sharing via SMS versus email versus the app, then it will better know how to handle that on the local device or however it's being read, so it knows exactly what kind of person's opening it, what kind of device that person is using. This week, the unlocked Moto Z and the Moto Z Play went on sale via Amazon for pre-order. So if you want to get that, it's now available. The release date or ship date, as far as I know, is October 2nd. The unlocked Moto Z runs for $699. The Moto Z Play runs for $449.99. The current color that I saw as well, or at least the last color that I saw that was available, is Lunar Gray. So if you want that color, it's there. But if you want other colors, you might have to wait a little bit. I don't know if it's actually going to be available, but I have a feeling it will, but I haven't seen anything else yet. Google sent out their invites for their October 4th event with a teaser for what is going to be announced, so I'll look out for that. And they also shared a link called Made by Google for more information. It's the actual URL is madeby.google.com. They show an outline of a phone and different wallpapers for what events are coming soon. And then you can submit your or send your give them your email address if you want to receive further updates on the event. Sony announced, or Sony's Xperia XZ is now available for sale. Or it's available for sale on October 2nd. I didn't see the pre-orders, but it runs a 5.2-inch screen, Snapdragon 820 processor, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage with an expandable SD card support. It has USB Type-C charging and a 23-megapixel camera. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I might add it to my list of devices to consider for purchase. I didn't see a purchase price, but the hardware seems on par with everything else that's out right now, and I want to kind of see what version of Android they're running to see, and as well as see what the price is, to see if it is something that I can consider buying, and then see what the UI is and what their general review performance history has been. As far as I know, the only reason I didn't buy their devices was that they were generally pricier than other devices, so we'll see. But their specs look good enough, so it might be worth another look. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's game review. So the review for this week is a game called Dream Machine. So recently I've been looking for games kind of like Monument Valley, but not really, or something that kind of matches the look and feel, but expands on how the gameplay itself is. And I came across Dream Machine, which actually, by all intents and purposes, looks like it's a, I don't want to say knockoff, but matches the interaction, UI, gameplay, and the whole nine yards of what Monument Valley is as far as the game goes. But they add their own story and UI elements to it, so many parts are going to seem familiar, but it's a different story and in a different world. So essentially the story behind the game is that you're going to play a robot, namely a blue robot, who malfunctions and gets discarded and wants to escape from the factory. So you kind of start at what I imagine at the moment is the lowest part of the factory, the kind of the trash bin or trash compactor, and you need to navigate through the environment to escape. The basic controls of the game are quite similar, so instead of just using the dots like Monument Valley to rotate the device and move things around, you have a lever to do a similar thing. It's a longer lever, more like a gear, so that's a noticeable difference, but it does add one other feature, namely that when you touch the robot, you can manually change the direction, so that also factors into the gameplay as well. So I'm still in the early stages, so I don't know what other kind of nuances they've added into the game, but the visuals of it are just as beautiful as Monument Valley, so I can't wait to play a little bit more. The game runs for $1.16 for Android in the Google Play Store and 99 cents for iOS. I didn't see if it was available in the Amazon App Store or for Windows Phone. As far as I know, it's not, but if it looks interesting, then it might be there or might be coming soon still. But it's a very interesting game. The first couple of chapters went by pretty fast, so I can't wait to play more, but it's definitely a game worth playing. And if you enjoyed Monument Valley and the additional chapters for Monument Valley, then Dream Machine is a game that is worth checking out. And then I'll have a link as well in the show notes to the video preview that I did for us. So if you want to check it out, then you can see exactly how the game looks and feels in the real world. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's app review. And for the app review, I wanted to cover the recently released Google app Allo. That's A-L-L-O. It was an app that was announced several months ago. I think it was announced at Google I.O. and started rolling out this week. It's a free app that is a mix of a messaging app and Google Assistant or automatic AI to provide answers. So when you install the app, the first thing you'll be asked to do is tie a phone number to the app. So you can send and receive messages. It does require the other person to be using Allo as well. So if they don't use Allo, then you cannot communicate with them using it. So it's a two-way system. But it is cross-platform in that it is available for Android and iOS. So it's available in the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. So it covers the most number of smartphone users possible. But once you have it set up and if you want to let a friend know that you're using it, then just send them an invite link or let people know that, or you can just let people know that you're using it and provide your number so they can tie to it. So that system is kind of like WhatsApp without the initial setup process. But basically, as long as the other person's using that Allo as well, then you can talk to each other using the app. Otherwise, the main premise here, the benefit here, that it brings that Hangouts or WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger and other apps don't have is that it has a learning algorithm that will learn how you speak over time. So if you need to provide generic canned responses or replies or answers to your friends that might be relevant based on the conversation, then you can easily provide that and Allo will make those suggestions. But where the app really shines is the Google Assistant. So what it does is it allows you to do a search using your own natural way of typing or speaking and provide you the results automatically. So you can just say type in weather and get your current weather, or you can say what is the current weather or what's tomorrow's weather or what's the current forecast. You can type in many different ways and it'll provide that response back to you. Same thing for directions, like how far is it from here to Las Vegas, and it'll give you those directions. Or you can just say what's the top stories right now and it'll give you that. And then on top of that, it'll give you suggestions for what other things to search for as well. So if you want to, if you do a search for sports teams, it'll give you suggestions for other sports related inquiries as well. And as far as I know, it also will learn from this so these searches as well to give you other suggestions related to what you're searching for to get you that information as well. And so that's the bulk of the app there. So if you want to see the visuals and see that the Google Assistant side of things in action, the link for this will be also available in the show notes for you to check out. Both reviews can be easily found as well by visiting youtube.com/patellan01. But I'm actually kind of liking the Google Assistant. It's kind of like Facebook Messenger meets Google Now. So Facebook Messenger does have that stocks and weather and news options available, but if you like Google Now more with the stories and sports scores and just getting any information that you search for easily, then the Google Assistant in Allo is that much better, or that much, it kind of brings that front end basically to Google Now to make it more intuitive to search for and get you whatever information you might want. So that's all there is for that. So I'll jump right into the entertainment segment, just one bit of what I watched and a couple of TV show reviews. So as far as what I watched, I did have a chance to continue watching Fear the Walking Dead. I watched season 2, episode 12, Pillar of Salt. So we see kind of more about, I forget the kid's name, but who's in the new community and with the pharmacist. But we see a little bit more of him and more about what the authority that that kid's mom, I think it's Chris, but the mom who is taking over, or exerting her authority that she's exerting over the hotel. And she's got now going out to get supplies as well with the other guy, the employee of the hotel. So their storyline is actually getting pretty good. But I do also, so I'm liking that mix that they're bringing the story up to speed and more about how they're coping with the zombie apocalypse. So other than that, I have been continuing to watch Stargate SG-1. I've made it into season 4, so I'm slowly making some progress there. But with a bunch of new shows coming out on TV, I might put that on hold. But it depends on how my schedule is as far as the speed of watching that as well. So the first TV show that I wanted to review that's back on the air is Gotham. In this case, it's season 3, episode 1, Better to Reign in Hell. So we get a catch up on all the major characters and what they've been up to. The episode itself aired in the United States on September 19th, 2016. It has a runtime of 60 minutes, and that's with commercials, so probably about 42 to 44 minutes without commercials. A summary of the episode is that Gordon works as a bounty hunter in monster-ridden Gotham while looking for answers about the Indian Hill escapees. Bruce's doppelganger wanders the streets, and Tabitha and Barbara open a nightclub called The Sirens. So overall, it's a pretty good episode. I like that we now see Jim Gordon as acting as a bounty hunter. And he doesn't necessarily have to live by the rules of the GCPD, so he gets a little bit more rein on how he wants to do things, a little bit less red tape. And he can basically do things how he wants to get the job done. A little bit of research that I need to do for myself is, who is that reverse Bruce Wayne? So the Bruce Wayne doppelganger we see in this episode, I want to say it was probably related to the Indian Hill experiments, but I forget offhand, or I wasn't paying that much attention, so I'm going to look into that a little bit more. But who is that doppelganger and what is going on there? One of the things I liked is that the Penguin versus Fish Mooney fight is back on again, now that they both know that, or at least now that Penguin knows that Fish Mooney's alive, it makes him that much angrier, so... I kind of like to see where they're going with this. I'm kind of hoping that they don't kind of rehash the past, but they escalate the odds as far as taking control of Gotham. And finally, the thing that kind of bothers me, though, why does everyone keep messing with Butch? So basically, we have Tabitha and Barbara messing with him and his emotions. He's kind of still in love with Tabitha. And then we have Selina stealing his wallet, so... Basically, the only person who I kind of want to say in air quotes is respects Butch is Penguin, even though he kind of gets on the Penguin's nerves. The Penguin also trusts him quite a bit. So overall, it was a good episode to bring back where everyone's at, where Bruce Wayne proper is and all of that. So we'll see exactly where they go in this season. So with that, I'll jump into the other TV show review, and this week we also had the season 4 premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So for episode 1, it was titled The Ghost. It aired in the United States on September 20th, 2016. It has an approximate runtime of 44 minutes. So kind of like Gotham is a 60 minutes with commercials, I'll estimate like 44 minutes without commercials. A summary of the episode is that with the Sokovia Accords and with Hydra destroyed, S.H.I.E.L.D. no longer needs to operate in the shadows. Coulson and Mac team up to confirm the presence of Inhumans, and needs to train specialist strike teams. So we learn who the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, and it turns out to be General Talbot. So he's taken control of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's handling a major reorganization. We learned that Simmons is basically angling to be his right hand, and her whole reasoning there is that while the former team, namely everyone who we saw who was a team at the start of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is kind of now broken up and doing their own thing, she kind of wants to hold a semblance of normalcy as to how things were before and make sure everything is in place in case things don't work out and they need to keep the team together. She wants to be that person to hold it all together. But in the end, it seems like Talbot's trying to make things more efficient, even though they're going back to keeping things classified. It looks like he's trying to make sure everyone has their jobs and duties and they report properly and that he knows exactly what's going on everywhere. And that they don't fall prey to organizations like Hydra again. Next up, though, as with the title of the episode, The Ghost, we learned that, or the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. introduces Ghost Rider into the Marvel TV universe. And I got to thinking, because I remember that Ghost Rider, for some reason, always rode a motorcycle, but I could be thinking of the Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider. I am a bit vague on, and I don't have that much information on the Ghost Rider character himself, but I figure that Ghost Rider in this case is using a car because a motorcycle provides less protection, or maybe because the Ghost Rider just became that being slash entity that he hasn't gotten quite used to it. Or maybe in this case he was just using it as a means of accomplishing his job, but I kind of like the whole car idea and the whole fire effects there. Finally though, with the pretty interesting part of the episode, if you take the Ultron out of Jarvis, you get Ex Machina. So we have Fitz's friend who has a robot creation, and they even bring up Ultron, but they bring up the idea that this is a new AI that has nothing to do with Ultron. It's not nearly as ready or relevant or has that those abilities, but they're working to create a robot that is entirely self-sufficient but has nowhere near that those same abilities as Ultron. So kind of like what Tony Stark was doing, but without all the extra bells and whistles and more of a personal assistant than anything else. So that was a pretty interesting thing there. So I kind of want to see where they take that and if they run into the same problems as Ultron, or if they are, they maybe go along the lines of limited access in the S.H.I.E.L.D. complex. So overall, it was a decent episode. Nothing major here, but it was still reintroducing where everyone's at and introducing Ghost Rider. So I kind of want to see where they go this season, if they up the stakes with Inhumans and Ghost Rider and various other characters in the Marvel Universe. So with that, I will jump into this week's Star Wars review, and I wanted to talk about the Holocron. So thinking kind of along the lines of what Allo and Google are doing with the Google Assistant, in the Star Wars universe, the Holocron was one of those old things that have always been around and provides a means of instruction and knowledge, so I wanted to talk about or share a little bit about that. So basically, the Holocron in the Star Wars universe contains ancient lessons or valuable information that can only be accessed by those who feel the power of the Force. So if you don't feel the Force, or you're not strong enough to access the contents of the Holocron, then you will be unable to access whatever information is stored in it. It's presented in the form of a holograph, so it's basically a three-dimensional virtual assistant that teaches you exactly what you want to learn, so you kind of get that personal feel. So think along the lines of Cortana meets Google Now, but a specific topic or topics of whoever created the Holocron in the first place. The Holocron itself is created from crystalline polyhedron, so it does take a Force user to store that information, and it does require a strong presence in the Force to create it to begin with. But they can be created by Jedi and Sith alike. The Jedi Holocron is usually in the form of a cube, a Sith Holocron is usually in the form of a pyramid, so you have that easy differentiation between the two holocrons, so you know what kind of information is stored in both. We do know that, for example, Darth Bane had a holocron, I think Yoda, I want to say, and then various other Sith and Jedi users, I think, I want to say Qui-Gon, I don't remember offhand, also had a holocron, so they are scattered throughout the universe, scattered throughout the Star Wars universe. I don't know why I had to clarify that, but they are available, so you do need to be strong enough in the Force to use it. So if you are a Jedi using a Sith holocron, then you need to be sufficiently strong enough to not be pulled into the dark side of the Force, and technically the reverse as well, though the Sith would probably want that information no matter what. A bit of fun fact, several holocrons were stolen after the Clone Wars by Gracchus the Hutt and held on Nar Shaddaa. Probably that's, I'm assuming that's where his palace was, as a means of having that power to obtain that information, or the holocrons themselves. They were eventually stolen back by Darth Vader to prevent the training of future Force users in the Jedi way, so that way if a Force user presented itself, either they would be turned to the dark side by Vader and the Emperor, or destroyed because they were much, much stronger. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's You Can Relax segment, and that will round out this week's episode. So I wanted to talk about listening to The Art of War. So last week I learned that Amazon had added a feature called Channels to Audible. So what this is it's a feature that's available for Audible subscribers and Amazon Prime members to get select audiobooks every month, so that if you want to get into audiobooks or you want to curate in books every month, then channels is the way to go. They are a part of the official Audible app, so all you need to do is download and install Audible. You will need to sign in with your same Amazon Prime account if you want to make sure you get the proper access to them. And from there, all you have to do is stream these audiobooks, and you can listen to them for free with your Prime membership. You don't have to give your credit card if you don't want to, but if you choose to sign up for Audible, then you can get many, many more audiobooks as well. I did have a chance to listen to The Art of War. I make note of that specifically because it is read by Aidan Gillen, I think, or Gillum. He is the actor who plays Littlefinger on Game of Thrones, so it was actually very well read. I wouldn't have expected to enjoy it as much as I did in one voice for the entire ebook or for the entire audiobook, but it was actually very entertaining and interesting. I enjoyed listening to it, and applying him reading The Art of War to his character in Game of Thrones made his character that much more awesome and dramatic and smarter as well, because it seems like he's really playing the game in Game of Thrones. So it's definitely worth a listen. So if you have Amazon Prime, then definitely check it out. And if you don't, then, or if you have an Audible membership, or if you want to try it for 30 days and it is worth it, it is on the shorter end. So if it is your part of your 30 days free, then it might not be worth it on that end. But as a Prime member, it is worth listening to. And then there are other books as well, like Bram Stoker's Dracula, read by Tim Curry and a few other people. And then there's various shows that are also going to be releasing in 2017. So if you're a Prime member, then you can look out for new shows coming there as well. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can get subscription links and past episode and all of that good stuff at patelin01.com. We are all, as always, available on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, RSS, Pocket Cast, and all those different ways. Video reviews can be found at youtube.com/patelin01. This show and every show on the Geek.io network can be found at geek-io.net. And of course, for those of you who are thinking of subscribing or contributing to the show via Patreon, patreon.com/patelin01 and patreon.com/geek.io. But if you subscribe to the Life of an Accounting Droid Patreon, there's a new feature that will be released every Monday or Tuesday at the moment, or I'll say maybe between Sunday and Tuesday every week. It's called Droid Forecast. It will be numbered according to the upcoming episodes. So if you're already a subscriber, then episode, that's, I think, 62. But whatever the upcoming episode number is, the Droid Forecast will match that. And it'll basically contain a look at what's coming up in that week's episode. So if I already know what TV shows I'm going to be reviewing, or what apps I'm going to be reviewing, or Star Wars in profile, or You Can Relax, or any news or anything like that, it'll be a quick few minutes. I'm expecting at the moment 5 minutes or less. Just a quick overview of what's coming up on that week's episode. So if you want to comment or provide insider updates for anything you hear, then you can comment there, or email me, or DM me on Twitter, and get in touch with me to provide feedback that way as well. So look out for that. And once you can, and as a side note, I'll explain this part as well, but once you contribute and become a patron to Life of an Accounting Droid, you'll get your own RSS link, so you can copy that into your own podcast player of choice or RSS reader, so Feedly, Pocket Cast, or anything like that, and subscribe and get those automatically sent to you. So it'll be in audio format with links related to whatever I'm talking about, if there are any at the time. And you get that as being a Patreon supporter. So that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.